morning to each of you. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Let us begin with the call to worship. And where you are, we are glad that you're joining us this Easter morning. Christ is risen.
Christ
is risen indeed. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Our opening hymn is Alleluia, Alleluia. But what we'll say this morning is Hallelujah, Hallelujah. And we're going to ask that before we begin the music, if you would just speak your name, wherever you are, just speak your name.
Carmen.
Okay, Carmen, would you do us, are you calling in by phone or are you calling by computer?
Phone.
Would you hit *6 on your phone, please? And that will mute you. And then we'll tell you when. Okay. All right. So our opening hymn. And, okay, Mr. Young, if you would hit *6 on your phone, please.
Yeah, I did. Oh, I'll do it again.
Yes, you unmuted. As you call in, you're already muted. So if I hear your voice, I'll ask for your name, and then that'll let me know who we're talking with. Our opening hymn is Hallelujah, Hallelujah, Give Thanks to the Risen Lord. The words say Hallelujah, but we're going to say Hallelujah this morning. And again, Mr. Michael Sellers has joined us in the parlor, and so he's going to help us out in the singing. Let us begin our opening hymn.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, give thanks to the risen Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, give praise to His name. He loves His God.
For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone.
His appearance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who is crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. Lo, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Hail." They came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Okay, we're going to ask you to speak your name. I think I hear Ethel Brown. Ethel Brown, do I hear you? Okay, we're going to ask that wherever you are, just speak your name so we know if we're hearing some people and we just want to know who we're hearing. Speak your name.
Morning.
James Young.
This is June.
Okay, Mr. Young and June. We're going to ask that you hit *6 on your telephones. This will mute you. Or if you're on by computer, look at the upper right-hand corner or the bottom left-hand corner, and where you see a microphone, click on that to say mute. This year, Easter Sunday falls during the COVID-19 pandemic, a time when we are secluded in our homes and told to wrap our faces in cloth if we dare to go out for groceries or supplies. Walk into the grocery store and you'll see people wandering quietly through the aisle with gloved hands and masked faces. Get too close and you'll register a wide-eyed look of alarm on the face of that person. If you go try to come out of an aisle and somebody's coming in the aisle, you'll see them sometimes back up to let you get that social distance. So we are hiding from an invisible beast. The beast is what people are naming the virus. It attacks ferociously in the night and with spikes, fevers, aches, choking, and hallucinations. COVID-19 is a breathtaking virus. It steals the breath from people's bodies in a particularly terrifying way. It strikes suddenly. And many of us have felt the effect of this virus even in our own bodies or in our homes. It leaves us frightened and breathless with no cure in sight. The only thing we can do is hide away, covering our noses and faces with cloth, hoping to keep the shock of this aggressive beast away from our lungs. COVID-19 is a death threat that has already made good on many lives. This brutal virus makes us feel that we are locked up in a dark tomb for an impossibly long duration, as though the darkness of Good Friday might go on forever with little hope in sight. And yet all around us, we see signs of spring, signs of awakening, signs of hope, signs of resurrection. We know that life as we have known it may be changed, subdued, and suppressed for us now, covered in what feels like a funeral cloth. And yet spring blooms eternal. All around us birds sing. I heard them at 5 o'clock this morning. The sun burst out from the winter clouds. It's a beautiful day here. Trees bud, flowers unfurl, the ground thaws, and God unwraps an entirely new landscape of color and life. But for now, we must wait to enjoy it because of the beast that we fear. Speaking of holding back our joy, there's something I've been waiting for the past 40 days to do, and I hope you will join with me. Around the world, it is customary for some Christian congregations to eliminate one word from their vocabulary during the season of Lent. I hinted at it last Sunday. Hopefully, you have figured out what that word is, that H word. This word is not spoken or sung or prayed in some congregations from Ash Wednesday until Easter Sunday. We started off last Sunday with the word Hosanna, which means save us or salvation. The crowds shouted to welcome Jesus into Jerusalem, but their Hosanna turned quickly to hostility and hatred by the end of the week. Jesus heard the shouts of crucify him ringing in his ears as he carried his cross up the hill to Calvary. For 40 days, we have waited for this moment when we could celebrate the risen Christ. And today, with congregations around the world, we get the opportunity to say that one special word together. And that word is, as some of you have probably guessed, that word is hallelujah. The Hebrew word that means praise you, Lord. So I invite you to say it with me. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You can do better than that. Let's say it together. Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah is the ultimate Easter word. But in all candor, we would have to say that hallelujah was probably the last word that the women who went to the tomb that morning were expecting to say. Still carrying the dread from the fact that their leader had been offered up to the beast known as death. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to the tomb to perform the necessary ritual. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. Their shock paralyzed them with fear. Too bad the Guinness Book of World Records wasn't around in Jesus' day, because there is no human-created special effect that can match the earth-shaking, tomb-opening visit from the angel on that Easter morning more than 2,100 years ago. In fact, the shockwaves of joy from that morning are still being felt all over the world. It is the most joyful event in the history of humanity. Now, the angel speaks to the women and gives them instructions on what to do and where to find Jesus. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy, and they ran to tell the disciples. Now, there are many stories in the Bible of people waiting for God and waiting on God. They're waiting to hear God's voice, to receive God's provision, or waiting to be guided by God. So I think it's interesting that in this Easter story, it's one of the few stories in the Bible when God waits for us. Notice that the angel didn't release Jesus from the tomb. Jesus had already risen from the grave. He didn't need the angel's help. The angel rolled away the stone so that the visitors to the tomb that morning could see inside the empty tomb. And then the angel sat down on the stone to wait for the women to arrive. What do you reckon he was doing while he waited? One thing we do know is that he wasn't practicing what he was going to say to the women. We might do that, but not the angel. I read recently that some very famous actors use cue cards or assistants off stage to feed them their lines through hidden earpieces. Actor Johnny Depp is one of these actors using an earpiece, but he's not alone. It's said that the great actor Marlon Brando taped cue cards all over the set of the film and even asked fellow actors to hold up cue cards for him. In more recent times, when Tom Cruise was filming the film Days of Thunder, the scriptwriter changed the script on an almost daily basis. So Cruise taped pages of the script to the dashboard of his race car. You know how that turned out, don't you? He was busy reading some of the script, even as he was driving. And unfortunately, he was so busy reading while driving that he crashed the car. Angels may have a fairly hard job, but memorizing their lines should be easy. You see, because almost every angel, at least in the New Testament, has the same opening line. You know what it is? It's four words with an exclamation point. You know what it is? Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. They have to say this because wherever God is near, people become afraid. I think I told you the story of how my mother would react in storms. If there was lightning and thunder, she would sit us down and tell us to be quiet and let God speak. And to this day, that respect and even that fear is with me. I don't know if you heard that loud thunder clap that occurred, I guess, was it yesterday or day before yesterday? It was such a fearful one. And it shook me with fear because Mama had instilled that fear in me, knowing that God was at work. Imagine the women coming suddenly by the shock of what had happened. They were saddened by this shock, grieving because the man who was the way, the truth, and the life was now dead and in the grave. And then they saw the angel waiting for them. And then as the women hurried out from the tomb, they find Jesus waiting for them. And he lets them know that he will be waiting for the disciples in Galilee. And nothing in human history has been the same since that moment. Shockwaves of joy are still reaching through time, across nations, into human hearts. If every believer shouted hallelujah on Easter Sunday morning with all their might, we might create the greatest explosion of joy that the world has ever experienced. Dr. Billy Graham once told a reporter for Time magazine, "If I were an enemy of Christianity, I would aim right at the resurrection because that is the heart of Christianity." Jesus' resurrection from the grave and his promise of eternal life for all those who put their trust in him is the very heart of Christianity. So, that's why we sing hallelujah today and every day. Hallelujah. He arose and lives forevermore. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We can say hallelujah, first of all, to the victory of love over hate. The world turned against Jesus in the last week of his life. Why didn't he give up on humanity right then and there in those last lonely hours of his arrest and torture and crucifixion? Why didn't God just stop it all? Why would Christ remain faithful when humanity was and is faithless? Why would he remain courageous when we have become cowards? Why would he still love us when we had betrayed him? Why? Because love is God's essential nature. Love is God. Love is God's greatest weapon to defeat evil. Love is why God created the world in the first place and how God will save the world at the last. God's undying love will never give up. On February 14, 2018, a former student armed with a semi-automatic rifle entered a Parkland, Florida high school and murdered 17 students and faculty members and injured 17 more. Several prayer vigils were held in the community in the days following the shooting. Most of the prayers were for the healing and strength and comfort for the family and the friends of the victim. But at one particular vigil, the speaker, Eddie Bevel, of Parkridge Church, offered a prayer for the shooter. He said, "Lord, we ask that you would intervene in his disturbed mind and show him the hope that can only be found in you. We pray for your miraculous work to be evident in him and in spite of him." That was the result of someone feeling the shockwave that Jesus created that day, called Easter. On the cross, Jesus forgave those who put him there. He even gave his life for the very people who hated and rejected and abandoned him. Hate eventually hits the dead end, you see, where it poisons both the victim and the hater. But love has an endless capacity to heal and transform and bring new hope and life to both its giver and its recipient. Martin Luther King Jr., in his essay, Loving Your Enemies, wrote, "To our most bitter opponents, we say, we shall match your capacity to inflict suffering by our capacity to endure suffering. We shall meet your physical force with soul force. Do to us what you will, and we shall continue to love you. One day, we shall win freedom, but not only for ourselves, we shall appeal to your heart and your conscience that we shall win you in the process, and our victory will be a double victory." Christ's victory on the cross was a double victory. It was a victory of love over hate. It was also a victory of life over death. Even in the Middle East, the shockwaves of his victory over both hate and death are still being felt today. Let me give you an example. The people of Lebanon and Syria have been enemies for decades. A few years ago, Pastor Lynn Friesen visited Lebanon, and she heard story after story of Syrian soldiers killing and harassing Lebanese people. She met a pastor whose father was killed by the Syrians. She met a woman who was holding her infant child in her arms when a Syrian soldier held her at gunpoint. One church leader described the suffering in their town when Syrian soldiers invaded the town and cut off access to food and medical supplies for 100 days. Pastor Friesen never expected that these stories of violence and death would turn into stories of hope and new life. "But there's something you need to know," she writes. "That pastor whose father was killed now has a church that reaches out to thousands of Syrian families. A few weeks ago, he invited a Syrian refugee to the front of the congregation so he could wash his feet in front of the whole congregation to remind them what it means to love and forgive. His church has grown from 60 to 900 people, and two-thirds of them are refugees. The woman who was held at gunpoint is part of a church that cares for 500 displaced Syrian families. Other churches have started food programs and job training for Syrian refugees. One church has even started a school for Syrian children in Lebanon. A Christian man whose brother was killed by Syrian soldiers lovingly drives the bus that brings Syrian children to school." So in the face of hatred and death, these Lebanese Christians are offering new life to their enemies. You see, that is a Jesus kind of outcome. In Jesus' suffering on the cross and his willingness to forgive those who put him there, we can say hallelujah, praise the Lord, to the victory of life over death and love over hate. And finally, we can say hallelujah to the victory of hope over despair. Even in the Middle East, let me give you one more example. When government-backed soldiers ravaged the Dinka villages of southern Sudan a few years ago, they murdered and kidnapped villagers, burned down the Dinka homes destroyed their crops. They left behind grief and devastation. But the elderly women of the village who were left behind to clean up the damage and bury the dead set about creating crosses out of sticks and strings, and they planted those crosses over every grave as a symbol of their hope. You see, the Jesus they believed in, and they believe in, faced powerful enemies. The Jesus they believe in also died a brutal and unjust death. And the Jesus they believe in rose from the dead. He left behind an empty cross and an empty tomb as a reminder that hatred and sorrow and even death had no power over him. And as his followers, hatred and sorrow and death no longer have any power over us. And now we can say hallelujah to the hope of resurrection and eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Only when you are sitting beside a tomb do you really understand the value of life. And only when you have stared hatred in the face do you really understand the value of love. And only when you have experienced the darkest depths of despair do you understand the power of unspeakable hope. The hope that can only be found in the character and promise of a loving, faithful, and powerful God. Today and every day in Christ, for the followers of Jesus Christ, we understand the power of the resurrection. We live the rest of our lives just outside the fullness of God's grace in life everlasting. You see, the fullness of God's grace is found in an empty tomb. The fullness of God's grace is found in the victory of love over hate, of life over death, and of hope over despair. Today, as we celebrate Easter morning, resurrection means so much more to us than it did before. For we have been living in darkness, confined to a kind of tomb-like existence. We are experiencing a different kind of despair. Life as we have known it has stopped. We don't go out to work. We don't go out to play. At least some of us don't go out to work. Mr. Stella says he goes to work. We don't go out to play. We hide our faces. We guard our lungs. We walk zombie-like through our homes and streets, frightened and covered in our own kind of funeral cloth, so that the cold breath of death might pass by. That invisible breath-stealing beast that threatens us and keeps us locked away for a time. But only for a time. Theologian N.T. Wright said, Christians cannot explain what and why everything is happening as it is, he said. Lament, however, is the Christian posture. He describes lament as our wondering and asking why, but not necessarily getting an answer. As the Spirit laments within us, so we become, even in our self-isolation, small shrines where the presence of healing and loving God can dwell. And out of that, there can emerge new possibilities, new acts of kindness, new scientific understandings, new hope, new wisdom for our leaders. Now that's the thought he added. We are in a time of waiting for this pandemic to end, waiting for the resolution of our particular problems and concerns, waiting for our Lord's coming in the kingdom of heaven. Life is in waiting. Life in waiting is merely that, a time of waiting, and yet a time of expectation, for we know that no matter what, no beast can ultimately have power over us. God's resurrection health and breath will raise us up. A new day will dawn, and shock will be replaced by the effects of a shock wave. You see, shock leaves you paralyzed with fear, unable to think about the next step. But when you experience a shock wave, you experience a powerful force that agitates us and disturbs our serenity. It's a disturbance that leaves you amazed. A shock wave shakes you up, and it leaves you changed. There is nothing that can match the shock wave of this Easter morning that occurred some 2,000 years ago. So today and every day, we say hallelujah and amen to the victory found only in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
We will turn to our time of prayer, and we will ask for your joys and concerns. We'll do it like we did last week. Last week we asked that you would unmute by section, and then, first of all, we ask that your TV be turned down before you unmute. Secondly, be prepared to offer just one or two names and the situation. Again, we don't need a detailed description of what has happened. And when it's your time, hit *6, share your information. When I repeat what you shared, hit *6 to go back to mute. If you are online, when I call your section, click the microphone and unmute from your computer. When you shared your information, then click the microphone again and make sure that the line is through that microphone. That puts you back on mute. So we ask that you share your concerns. Those people whose last name begins with A through D, if you have prayer concerns, we ask that you share them now.
Elizabeth the Apple, happy Easter to all.
Just happy Easter.
Wanted to request a prayer for my friend Monica, who lost her mother this morning.
Friend Monica, whose mother died this morning.
Prayers for Vernon Ball, who a very close friend of the Collier family, and he may have the virus.
And his name is Vernon?
Gall.
Gall.
Yes.
Prayers of thanksgiving for my in-laws who were both, my mother and aunt sister-in-law who were suffering with the virus, but they're both home and they're doing better. However, prayers for my family, we lost my uncle on Wednesday.
Okay, and who is this? Is Sharon?
This is Carmen.
Okay. Thanksgiving and mourning and grief.
Thank you.
For the death of her uncle. Anyone else? For those whose last name begins with E through H, please unmute and share your prayer concern.
This is Menon Fredericks. Happy Easter. Please pray for the Belcher family. They've suddenly lost the patriarch of their family, Eric Belcher. And also please pray for Liz Carter's family. She lost her mother and buried her yesterday. Thank you.
Liz Carter's mother and Mr. Eric Belcher, T-Net.
Priscilla B. Hamilton, but my daughter Pamela Thames. She was under the doctor care for the virus, but she's better and been back to work for one day. Happy Easter.
Right. Happy Easter to you. Priscilla Hamilton's daughter, who is recovering, or is recovered, hopefully, totally.
Yes.
Okay. Anyone else?
Yes, this is Renita, and I wish to offer prayers to those who are caring for those who have been stricken with the virus in healthcare settings. I want to pray and give thanks to those who are delivering food to the stores and everyone else who are making our lives more bearable.
Okay, so prayers for healthcare workers as well as those who are delivering and those who are continuing to serve.
Yes.
All right, thank you. And we ask that that group would go back to mute, and then anyone whose last name begins with I through K. All right, anyone whose last name begins with L through R?
Good morning, this is Suzanne Mulling. I just want to send a prayer to all those online, the entire church family, all the healthcare workers on the front line. I would like to send prayers to my parents that they stay well during this time, and all those that are indoors and not going out, that they remain well. I want to send a prayer to Edith Strawn on the loss of her son, Bruce Campbell. And all those that have lost someone dear to them during this time, whether it be friend or family. And I just wish you all well during this time.
Okay, so Dr. Mullins offers her prayers to the church family as well as all those who have been affected by this virus. Are there others?
From the Miller family. Debbie Alexander's dad, who was been in the hospital with COVID, has now been taken off the respirator and is doing much better.
Amen.
And also a dear friend of mine, personal friend, we were in first grade together, Kathy McElveen. She passed away 3 days ago from the virus in South Carolina.
So our prayers to Ed Miller, as he grieves the loss of a friend, as well as rejoices in one who is recovering. All right.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Easter to everyone. This is Jennifer Robinson, requesting prayer for a coworker of mine, Fran O'Brien. Her dad passed away on Thursday from the virus.
So, for Fran O'Brien, whose father died due to the virus.
Thank you.
Anyone whose last name begins with S through Z?
Is Jim Young... prayers of thanksgiving for Cheyenne Smith, who is doing much better. He was ill and on a respirator, but he's doing much better. We thank God.
Amen. So Cheyenne Smith, who is recovering.
Hi, Ruth White here. Thank prayers for my sister Sharon, who has recovered from the virus.
Amen. So Sharon Smith, who is recovering and has recovered from the virus. Okay, we have heard your concerns. Let us then, as a people, together pray. I will offer a litany of thanks, and a response may be offered by you after each petition. At the end of each petition, I will say, we, your people, say, and your response should be, thank you, God, we praise you. So at the end of each petition, I will say, we, your people, say, and your response is, thank you, God, we praise you. Heavenly Creator, we come before you on this day of celebration to give thanks. We have so much to be thankful for, things unseen and seen that you have done in our lives. We, your people, say, thank you, God. We praise you. We are thankful for the relationship that you initiated with us, by what your son endeavored to accomplish. paying the price for our sins, redeeming and reconciling us. You know the time we have been ungrateful and held ill thoughts towards you. You know the time we complained and grumbled about life and its circumstances, about suffering, about going through what seemed like endless trials and tribulations. But when our lives crumbled, God, you were there. When our hearts were broken, you were there, gently holding us, pursuing us, loving us back into your sheepfold. It was hard to thank you at that time, but we look back now with grateful minds and with gratitude in our hearts for even the most painful of trials. So we, your people, will say, thank you, God.
Thank you, God.
We praise you.
We praise you.
You are and always will be there with us, dear Lord. Even when it seems like we are forever in the wilderness, running further and further from you, you, our Creator, are there, guiding us back into your loving arms. We are thankful, Lord, for everything that you allow to cross our path. Thankful for the decisions that you allow us to make and the lessons that come from these decisions. Forgive us for when we don't think to thank you enough. Forgive us, Lord, when we don't thank you enough for who you are, for all that you do, for all that you have given us. So this day, Lord, we, your people, say, thank you, God. We praise you. Thank you for your amazing power and work in our lives. Thank you for your goodness and for your blessing over us. Thank you for you are able to bring hope through even the toughest of times. Thank you, God, for your great love and care. Thank you for your mercy and grace. Thank you that you are always with us and will never leave us. Thank you for your incredible sacrifice so that we might have freedom in life. Thank you for turning our mourning into joyful dancing. We, your people, say thank you, God.
Thank you, God. We praise you.
We thank you, Lord, for what you will do for those suffering medical and physical ailments, those with financial fears and other concerns during this time of widespread suffering. We offer our prayers for those who are stricken with the coronavirus and those who are recovering. Jean Golden, Sharon White, Siobhan Smith, and others who have been named. Priscilla Hamilton's daughter. We pray, oh God, we offer our prayers for those in health and other caring professions who are on the front line in this battle with COVID virus. For funeral homes and workers as they deal with an overwhelming volume of deaths and families to console. For delivery persons on all levels. For those who are considered our valuable, vulnerable populations, the elderly, those suffering from chronic disease, the poor, especially the uninsured and the homeless. For businesses that cannot open, the workers who wonder how they will pay their rent, and for government leaders. And we remember those who are in mourning, Edith Strong and her family, as they grieve the death of her son, Bruce Campbell, for the family of Eric Belcher, for Elizabeth's friend, Monica, whose mother died. For Liz Cather's mother, or Liz Cather, Carter rather, whose mother died. For Kathy Macklin's family, as they grieve her death. For Jennifer Robinson's co-worker friend, Abram, as she grieves her father's death. Lord, we pray for these families in grief. You can take away our clothes of mourning and clothe us with joy. We pray, O God, that this would happen for each of them, so that they might sing praises to you and not be silent. O Lord God, we will strive to give you thanks for everything, even as we pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
Amen.
Our closing hymn is Christ the Lord is Risen Today. We printed that on the bulletins that were sent out to you. And we'll try to join our voices and sing. And again, since we now can speak that word hallelujah, which I have on my crooked sign up here, instead of at the end of each verse where it says hallelujah, we will say hallelujah. And again, we're grateful that Mr. Sellers is here. He's going to be joining his voice with us as we sing our closing hymn, Christ the Lord is Risen Today. And so we continue to lift each of you up in prayer. We continue to think about those that you have named, whether those who are ill now, those who are recovering, or those whose life has ended. We think about those who are caring for us, for all those who are out in, as they say, on the first line. And we think about the fact that in all these things, Christ promises us victory. In life, in death, in days behind, in days to come, life promises us victory. And we thank each of you for joining us this Easter Sunday morning. We say to each of you, hallelujah. He is risen. Praise the Lord. And so we will send out information on next Sunday service, and also we will be printing that information on our calendar online. We are getting our secretary up to speed on that, and so for the following Sundays, the information should be printed online prior to your receiving an email from me. Let us then be dismissed. Brothers and sisters, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and forever. Amen.
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 And we thank Mr. Sellers for joining us. We thank our director of music, Ms. Heather Bennett, for joining us. Go in peace. Amen. Go forth in peace.
Amen.
Happy Easter, everybody.